Well, a good morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We're going to take a break today from the teaching of God's promises to his two families. We're doing so because we have some instruction in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, wherein it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be an holy convocation, these are my feasts. It says in the fourth verse, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. We are about to approach a season of God's feasts, or probably more properly put, God's set times, the feasts of the Lord. Now, I think today's teaching is going to be a short one. I'm not going to teach on each of the seven, or better put, eight set times of God. The first being the Sabbath day. Next, Passover. And unleavened bread, and first fruits, and Pentecost. We are in a season, the season of the Feast of Trumpets, of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. If you want to hear more, you can find them in the archives. We have taught several times on these feast days, but we are in a season now, this coming Thursday, the 21st of September, beginning at sundown, is the Feast of Trumpets. And unlike the whole church, seemingly, which celebrates the birth of Christ on a pagan holiday, in pagan activities, we attempt to proclaim God's faithfulness, even to his set times, that this Feast of Trumpets is the day that Christ was born. It is also the day that Christ shall return, this time not as suffering servant, but as Lord of lords and a King of and King of kings. It's the true, to use the popular term, it's the true Christmas day. This year, falling on, as I said, sundown the 21st, Feast of Atonement begins 10 days later, sundown on the 30th. And the Feast of Tabernacles, 15 days later, on October the 5th, at sundown. Remember, the Hebrew day begins at sundown and lasts until sundown the next day. So we are in this season. We are in this season of tabernacles. This is trumpets and atonement are one day set times, God describes this as being 7 days plus one, even an eighth day. It says in the 33rd verse of Leviticus 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work. 7 days. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, that is, a final or closing assembly, and ye shall do no servile work. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. And besides Sabbaths, the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. So, why am I talking about tabernacles today? If you go on and read, and as I said, this hopefully is going to be a short message, but one that may bring understanding. You can go on and read from the 39th verse. Read for yourselves. What they were to do was to move out of their houses. You can read in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. what they did. They moved out of their houses, built temporary dwellings on the rooftops or in the streets. And here's why it says in verse 42, Leviticus 23, ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What is remembered by this appointed time, this set time of God? They, when God delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, which in the scripture is the type of sin, he caused them for 40 years to dwell in the wilderness in temporary dwellings. And all that they needed, the Lord provided. This is what was to come into the mind of the children of God who were having a relationship with God and had some understanding of that relationship. And it was played out in the stage of history by them dwelling in their temporary housing, acknowledging all that they had, the Lord provided. You can read more about it as I said earlier, in the 8th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. I'm not going into all the readings. You read it for yourself. It's good to spend time in the Word. It says in the 17th verse of that 8th chapter, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of activity, out of captivity, made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was great gladness. So I'm reading and studying on this, and it occurs to me wherein it says, for since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a fair piece of time. Joshua enters the promised land, and we don't need to get into absolute days, but around 1410 BC. And the time we're talking about here is around 430 by 440 BC. That's almost 1,000 years. And I thought about how when I teach on the history of the Bible, that from the time that the church at Rome took preeminence in the church, and the order comes out that the Word of God is to be translated only. I'm sorry, dummy that I am, I forgot to turn my phone off. You probably heard that. As I was saying, when the church at Rome put forward the rule that the word was to be communicated only in the Latin language, that it was almost 1,000 years that the Word of God could again be understood by the congregation. It says in the 8th verse of this same 8th chapter of Nehemiah, so they read in the book the law of God, that we could translate the Word of God distinctly, and gave them a sense and caused them to understand the reading. The 12th verse says, because they had understood the words which were declared unto them. This is the 500th year anniversary. It actually, to be precise, it doesn't begin. Generally, the Reformation is marked from that time that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg, which is October 31st. Wherein the Word of God began again to go free and began to be understood by the people. And this 17th verse says, and all the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity, and as the Word of God began again to be understood, the understanding was the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us who were captive to sin. And the scripture declares clearly, for sin comes death, but as the second chapter of Ephesians tells us, that we who were dead in trespasses and sins has God made alive again through Christ, The gospel is preached again. That is the power of God unto salvation. Well, where are you going with this, Don? I thought we were talking about feast days, set times, tabernacles. Tabernacles is the one set time of God that is clearly mentioned, that it is going to be recognized, it is going to be understood, it is going to be celebrated, it is going to have preeminence in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. It's an important time. This is the season. You can read what the children of Israel did during these 7 days, nay, eight, in the 29th chapter of Numbers. I said we weren't going to be teaching long about this. But they offered 203 offerings during that period of time. Going back to Leviticus 23, 37th verse, says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering." You know, what a burnt offering is? It doesn't please anybody else but God. And in Nehemiah, it says, as they remembered that day, it says, and there was very great gladness. That's what we get out of it, or joy. A burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering, and everything upon his day beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. This is season of giving, folks. And giving comes from understanding. And understanding comes from God's Holy Spirit. And God gives His Holy Spirit to fathers. And a manifestation made preeminent by Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, then you're a giver. And this is a season. I read a commentary on this, and I'll just share it with you. It was by a fellow by the name of McLaren on this 38th verse of Leviticus 23. It says, the offerings of the weekly Sabbaths, God will not have any Sabbath sacrifice diminished because of the addition of others. Proper to any other feast. And it is here to be noted that though other feast days are sometimes called Sabbaths, yet these are here called the Sabbaths of the Lord, the set times. And in the way of contradistinction, to show that these were more eminently such than other feast days. Your gifts, which being here distinguished from the freewill offerings made to the Lord, may denote what they freely gave to the priests over and above their first fruits and tithes and other things which they were enjoined to give. Now, we don't teach giving here as the law, but as an outward expression of the indwelling of Christ in us. We have a tradition here at the God School of remembering this season. And we do so by giving a gift representing 203 or multiples thereof to or by the ones to whom God has given ears, to whom ears to hear, to whom God has given eyes to see, of all that our Lord has done for us. Enough said. If you're listening for the first time to this message and you don't know how to give, contact me through the comment section on this website and I'll let you know. Those of you who do know, give as unto the Lord, give. I thought I marked it, but apparently I didn't. This has been on my heart all week. I'm telling you, folks, God responds to the giver. He loves, it says, the hilarious giver. This is a season of giving, but this has really been on my heart most of the week. The sixth chapter of Ephesians. And I'm just going to read, beginning in the 10th verse. Paul has gone through wonderful unveiling of God and His purposes with those whom He's chosen. And he says in the 10th verse now of the 6th chapter, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That's the ability to accomplish anything. Dr. Scott translated it. It says, after having said all this in the preceding chapters, "For the rest, be ye empowered." That is, receive it. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." I need to be reminded of this always. You know, I hear with those fleshly ears and see with those fleshly eyes and don't have the complete understanding all the time. And we need to be reminded that it's not against flesh and blood that we wrestle. This word wrestle in the Greek is poly. It's the only time it's ever used in the New Testament. It comes out of the Olympic Games. It is a struggle one-on-one with one participant trying to put the other down to eventually get his foot on his neck. It's a fight to death. We need to recognize our true enemy. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." And because of this contest, and because this is the real struggle, Paul says again, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I'm reminded in that opening verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians, wherein it says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free." What does it say all the way back in Nehemiah? Stay with me for a minute. Couple of minutes. I'll get there. "And all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity stand fast in the liberty." How do we do this? We do it by putting on the armor of God. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." That is the belt of truth, the truth Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Carrying about the word of God and having on the breastplate of righteousness, that is the gift of God, his righteousness. Don't be defending yourselves. Know what God has done for you, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the preparation of the good news, with the preparation of the Godspiel, under the influence of God's word, which is peace. God is not against you. Don't accept the accusations of the enemy. Above all, Paul says, taking the shield of faith. If we've got the word of God about us and we've got on the breastplate of his righteousness and our feet, we're walking in the gospel. We're walking by faith. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, that is the devil. And take the helmet of salvation, the new mind, the metanoia, the aftermind that God gives you, that he chose you, that he has sustained you and will into eternity. And where needs be, and the sword of the Spirit, which again takes us back to the Word of God. We remember this season of tabernacles. We remember now in this 500th year anniversary of the Reformation, wherein the Word of God began again to go free unto the whole world. That we might have his word, the truth, that we might understand what he has done, given us his own righteousness, that in this gospel, God is not against us. That we have this shield of faith, which is all the promises of God, which we can grab hold of and make them ours. That's faith. We have the new mind, that is the understanding of the word, which does bring joy. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert 40 days, he did nothing else but quote Scripture. That's why we teach here, that you might be equipped, that you and I might take to us that which God has made available, which is the whole armor of God. Paul goes on to say, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and I've taught here before, this word supplication comes from a sense of humility, knowing our position in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance might be continued to be given unto me. I ask you, pray for me. And give in this season of giving, because you understand what God has done for you and for me, that we were come again out of captivity to the praise and glory of the name of the Lord. God willing, next week we will begin again, or continue in that wherein we started, the basis of which was that God's name may be magnified forever. And that's the God School for today.